Welcome to the Smichael Speaks podcast channel. I'm Joanne Smichael, and I'm delighted that you tuned in for relevant leadership learning that will help you continue to soar. Enjoy this episode. I hope you've been listening to the episodes with Dr. Jen Douglas, because she's back today. She's been a guest twice. And if you didn't hear those episodes on the challenges and supports for addressing mental illness, you really should find them and listen. Today, I finally get to talk to her about something else that she's passionate about: perfectionism. She was on the faculty at Stanford. She's a very popular speaker and author and an ally and an advocate for DEI. Welcome back, Jen. Glad
to
have
you. Thank you so much for having me.
So today, I want to talk about your workbook, Freedom from Perfection. And I know there's a much longer title. Tell us the title. I don't remember the whole title.
That's okay. So I have a course that also has a workbook. It's called Freedom from Perfectionism: How to Take Back Your Time and Live a More Authentic Life.
So it's a course. Where do you do this course? Is it
it's a public seminar?
It's
all online. So it's all online so that people can take it at any time and at their own pace. Okay. So when I work with perfectionists, they are always scheduled to the hilt. They are constantly running from one thing to another. Their lives are very, very full, but they are not enjoying their lives in quite the same way. Mm-hmm. So the course is set up so that you can take it on your laptop. You can take it on your phone. There are little 10-minute videos that you can watch, you know, after dinner, when you have a few minutes, while you're doing dishes, doesn't matter. But it can be done at any time, anywhere in the world, which it's been taken in over 20 countries, which
that is cool.
Have a lot of pride. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is really cool. You should have pride in that. Yeah. That's excellent. Now tell me, what got you interested in perfectionism?
You sound so skeptical. So there are a few reasons, and I promise it does make sense. So I'm incredibly interested in women's mental health, as we spoke about in a previous episode. And I'm also very interested in anxiety and also trauma. Mm. And when you think about perfectionism, there are different routes to perfectionism. But a lot of people don't realize that when they're socialized, especially women are socialized with perfection as the ideal. So, you know, we should be working as hard as we possibly can. We, you know, should be aging in reverse. For people who, you know, choose to do the marriage and kid thing, they should be doing that and the white picket fence and the 2.5 kids and all that. And, you know, this is what should be happening. We should go to this college. We should have this kind of job, et cetera. And when we really take a step back from that, we realize that perfectionism is actually holding a lot of women back from mm-hmm. speaking out, from having boundaries and saying no, and from really living the kind of life that they want to live, as opposed to the life that they've been told that they should have.
Mm-hmm. And it's so amazing to me how many women never discover the life that they want to live. Yes. It is tragic.
Yes.
It is tragic when, you know, the years have gone by and a person has never gone on the journey to self-discovery to figure out, this is the life that I want for me.
Yes, yeah. That's exactly it. That's why this is my passion and why I talk about it every day.
Love that. So you talk about the roots or the origins of perfectionism. So it really does have roots. Where does it come from?
Oh, it's got roots. And the roots can be quite deep. Well, there are different, and the course delves obviously more into this, but there are different ways that perfectionism can come up. Sometimes it can happen later in life. You know, for instance, someone, you know, has a very high octane job with maybe a very critical boss. And so they sort of become so anxious that they feel like, oh my goodness, I have to reread this email 10 times before I send it. It absolutely has to be perfect. And so you can see it in those situations. Tragically, you can actually see it in romantic relationships as well. If somebody's with a highly critical partner, then they become very anxious about doing anything imperfectly because, oh my gosh, you know, if they ordered takeout for dinner, or if, you know, there's a sock on the floor, then the person's going to be hypercritical of them. So it can mm-hmm. happen later in life. But many people can be both genetically loaded, can have DNA, if we look back and I might have an anxious parent or, history of mental illness in the family. So we can be more loaded for perfectionism and anxiety. But then we can also have situations in our upbringing that can contribute to perfectionism. One thing we were talking about DEI in our first podcast that we did together, and I've worked with many women of color who have developed perfectionism because they had to be twice as good to get a seat at the table. Right? And you're like, you might be familiar with that. I'm not sure.
Oh yeah.
Just maybe.
Yes.
And so if we're honest about the barriers that especially women of color have in their professional lives, often perfection is demanded of these women. And then it can be a very
The
hard thing,
higher standard.
right? And
The higher
that's,
standard.
and then if you are under that kind of pressure for years, it can be very hard to turn off that perfectionism in your personal life, even if it's been necessary in the professional world.
Yeah. I was really taken aback when someone that I love dearly said to me, it's never enough for you, Joanne. I do my best and it's never. And I mean, it cut like a knife because I never wanted that person to feel that way. I never wanted them to feel like it wasn't enough because it's more than enough. And I realized that the messages that I was sending in this relationship were try harder, do more, be better. And so that was striking to me that because I'm going to tell you, I do not see myself as a perfectionist. Now, maybe I'm slightly delusional, but I really don't.
Well, we talked about in a previous episode this idea of doses, and a small dose of perfectionism is wonderful. If we're picking out particular things, like for me, my house is not spotless. I do not make dinner from scratch every night. That's not who I am. But am I a very present parent? Am I a very present therapist and speaker who's really in there? And I'm going to remember, your third cousin's name that you mentioned to me 3 years ago. Yes, I am going to do that. That is important to me. But when the dosage of perfectionism is too high and then everything needs to be perfect, everything it needs to be above and beyond, that's when you're getting burnout, you're getting stressed, people are having trouble sleeping, their relationships are suffering. That's what I consider perfectionism that really needs to be addressed.
Run amok. Yeah. Hey,
Yes.
you just mentioned something. You're a speaker. Who do you speak
Yes.
for? Where do you speak? What do you talk about?
So I talk a lot about perfectionism, especially in sort of corporate spaces, because especially managers can have trouble with reports not kind of coming out of their shell and asking for help when they need to, and then deliverables do not come at the time or quality that they are expecting them. People can become sort of paralyzed by perfectionism. So I speak on that. I also speak on women's mental wellness in both nonprofit spaces and in corporate spaces. And then I also do consultation for therapy practices, which makes sense.
Yes, that does make a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
Okay. I want to go back to perfectionism. I just
Yes.
was curious about your speaking
Of
role.
course.
All right.
Well,
Gender?
can I jump on something that you said that I think is really, really
Of
important?
course.
You said, well, I didn't understand what this problem was with this person in my life because I was encouraging them. I was saying, be better, you've got this, you can always pursuing excellence. And that can be one way that perfectionism can be developed, especially when we're talking about young people. We were talking about young people's mental health in a previous podcast. And one thing that I've actually had to rein in myself as a parent is that encouragement, what I view as encouragement, can also be interpreted by a kid with a certain personality as expecting perfection. And so it's actually been a nice shift that I've seen in a lot of folks where we're working on mental health with kids, where we are rewarding effort and we are rewarding their ideas, but we are not rewarding the perfect outcome. So it doesn't, yes.
I like that, and I like rewarding people for trying. Yeah, I really do like that. Reward them for trying. All right, I'm curious about gender. Is there a relationship between gender and a tendency towards perfectionism? Now, I'm not going to tell you what I suspect the answer is. You tell me the answer.
So I would argue yes, I have not gone through, and there's not that much data. We do
Okay.
have some data that perfectionism is more prevalent in women, but perfectionism doesn't get direct research funding as much because it's not a formal diagnosis in the DSM. So perfectionism can fall under anxiety. It can fall under something called OCPD, which is a different version. It's not OCD like you're picturing the stereotype, but it has strong aspects of perfectionism within that diagnosis as well. But you don't have a lot of standalone studies on perfectionism itself. However, I will say that of the 60,000 people who follow my social media to learn about perfectionism, 90% of them are women. 90 plus percent of them are women.
Okay.
And what I see in my practice, what I see in just culturally where perfectionism has its outgrowth, is quite focused on women.
Okay. So how does a woman know if she's a perfectionist? Because I think I might be a little delusional. I might be and just didn't realize it.
Let's talk about the dosage, okay?
Uh-huh.
So perfectionism, when it's healthy, there's a level of striving. When I've met you and worked with you, I think striving is in your DNA. Like that's there, okay? That's not in question. Perfectionism is when the dosage is too high, and you're going to see two main issues. One is everything needs to be perfect. It's not just these, couple things that are really important to me that I care about. If everything needs to be perfect, if I'm staying up till, 3 o'clock in the morning, the night before Thanksgiving, because I'm going to remake these biscuits because they have to be absolutely perfect, that's perfectionism, okay? Fine. And the other is that perfectionism actually, the pattern that you see has more to do with fear and avoidance than you might think.
Really?
Yeah, this is usually surprising when I talk about this to folks. So if I'm striving, if I'm in a work situation and I have a deliverable, if I'm striving, then I'm looking for ways to make it better. I'm making it better than my last deliverable. I'm incorporating feedback. All of these things are good. I want my performance to be good. When perfectionism comes into play, I want the deliverable to be perfect, so much so that it's hard for me to get started.
Wow.
Yeah. Have you ever seen that in your professional life or experienced that?
So I attributed that to procrastination. I never made the link between procrastination and perfectionism. I never, ever, ever made that link.
Perfectionism and procrastination are besties. They come
Okay.
as a pair.
Did
That's what
not
that
know
is.
that. Did
Yes.
not know that.
And what hurts my heart is that many people say, "Oh, I'm procrastinating. I'm lazy. I'm not a hard worker," when it's actually the opposite. It's the people who care so much that the perfectionism can actually paralyze them and they get into analysis paralysis. And that's what's really beautiful when we dismantle it.
That is so interesting. I never would have thought that. So how do you know? Okay. How do you know perfectionism is in your way? Okay, you think you're a procrastinator, but you're really a perfectionist. How else would I know that this is getting in my way?
So it really comes down to you. Okay, so you have the mental experience of it, which is you see stress. You're not enjoying your work. It becomes, even the things that you love, like I mentioned, baking, like it becomes a chore. It becomes something that is not pleasant to do. And that can happen in, our professional world as well. So that's one aspect. And then the other is you lose an immense amount of efficiency. This is the rereading the email 10 times before you send it out. And this is why I'm so passionate about working with female perfectionists, is that women get held back in the workplace because we are socialized with this perfectionism, whereas men send off one, I'm stereotyping a little bit, sorry, but men send off one line emails with typos all the time. It's so efficient.
So what?
So
Exactly.
what? And so when I work with perfectionist women, or if I speak, at a company talking about letting their ideas, speaking their ideas out loud in a meeting before they're perfect, not perfect. I mean, I have women who will have an idea in a meeting, and if they can't like see the entire idea to execution 18 months later, they won't say it. And that breaks my heart because we're losing so much talent and so much brilliance to perfectionism.
And that's self-sabotage. You're thwarting yourself. I mean, yeah, that's wow. So, language. Is there any particular language that's a flag of perfectionism? I'm going to tell you, I grew up in a house where, good, better, best, never let it rest till you're good is your better and your better is your best. And that served us well in many ways. I remember often hearing, so my mother's father would tell her, good that you got an A. Next time I want you to try for an A plus. And well-meaning messages. And
Yes,
I
of
think
course.
messages that led us to be people who pride excellence. I mean,
Yes,
we do.
absolutely.
But I can also see how those messages could lead a person down a path to perfectionism. What do you think about language
Yes. Well,
and
and this is
messages?
absolutely, it's such a good question. And it also is so individual as well. There are some kids, and there are beautiful studies on this. I will try not to go off on a tangent on that, but I'll just say that there are some kids where that language will help them just on the strive side and they won't go into perfectionism. There are other kids, my kid, if I say one tiny little thing, she will take it to heart and her perfectionism brain will get going. So it's very, and it's the culture of the family. There's even, there's intergenerational culture stuff. Like I talked to a lot of my perfectionists have very recent immigration stories to the United States. Like they might have immigrated, but I have a lot of first gen. I have a lot of folks where their parents immigrated. And this is the most common thing I see. Their parents immigrated. They themselves grew up with not a lot of money and, because of the immigration story. And then they needed to work very, very hard in school, get great jobs, and sort of pull the whole family up along with them. And so their achievement was paramount to the family. And so that focus leads to, even once they have, quote unquote, made it and have accomplished the things, they have all the accolades, they have the great job and all of that, then they still feel like they're at the beginning of that race, not at the end.
At the end. That's interesting. You know, your workbook talks about thoughts and behaviors. Thoughts and behaviors. We've talked a little bit about the behaviors that are indicative of perfectionism. So, what are some of the thoughts, and then how do I kind of unlearn, retrain, catch them before they get deeply rooted? How does that happen?
That's a wonderful, wonderful question. So there are themes that come up for perfectionists, and what you're looking for is what we call absolute language. So things like, I need to do X, or if the presentation isn't perfect, then it's a failure. These really extreme language in one way or another. We call it all or nothing thinking. So we're on the lookout for that. And the other thing that we want to look for is this theme of not being enough, which I believe you mentioned. I forget it was before when we were chatting before we started recording or not. It was right at
Probably, yeah.
probably. But there's this theme of it never being enough. And with perfectionists, the other thought process that happens is they say, oh, well, I'm going to reward myself or I'm going to relax after this next accomplishment. But that doesn't happen. As soon as that accomplishment is done, their brain goes to the next thing they
Then the
have to
next
do
thing.
and kind of poo-poos the achievement.
One of the things I tell my clients is you have to celebrate the little wins. You have to celebrate the little wins because there are more little wins than there are big wins. So if you get in the habit of celebrating little wins, you have a lot of celebrations going on in your life. So
I love
celebrating
that.
the little wins is really, really important. And not just individual little wins, but team little wins. I work a lot with intact work teams and organizational systems, and you've got to create a culture of celebration
Yes, and celebrating
where,
each other, that team experience where you're lifting each other up. That's that trust that you're building. I love all of this. This is
Yes,
so
it's
good.
important. It's important. And when we think about culture and climate in the workplace, if you have a culture where you catch people doing things right and you celebrate the effort that people put in and celebrate commitment, it breeds more of the same.
Yeah, so
Truly
you're
does.
doing all the things we're talking about doing. It's not rewarding the absolute perfect, slide deck. It's rewarding the overall arc of the team and what they're trying to accomplish and the wins along the way. I
Exactly.
love that.
Exactly. So now, we talked about the fact that you have these workshops also, not just your online thing that you do, but if I were to come to a face-to-face workshop
Yes.
with you at my
Yes.
company, what
Yes.
would you want me to leave with? What would my
Oh.
takeaway be?
I would want you to leave knowing that you probably have more brilliant ideas and efficiency within you than you've ever given yourself credit for.
Like that. You are more than you think you are. You're more than you know. Yeah, I like that. So, last thoughts. How do I break it? How, if I'm in the perfectionist cycle, how do I break it? Like, what is the trick for breaking it? I mean, I know we're going to use your workbook, but what else?
The workbook helps. So, and this is why in my courses and workshops, we focus a little more on behavior than on thoughts, which
Okay.
is different than, a lot of therapy is much more on thoughts. But when we talk about perfectionism, I'm very much into behavior because I've yet to meet a lot of perfectionists who aren't brilliant. Like that's part of the self-fulfilling prophecy is okay, this person tries really hard and then they're rewarded for that perfection and then they keep doing it. And so every perfectionist I know has told themselves, like, oh, it doesn't matter. Will it matter in 5 years? Da, 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 da. But they keep doing the behavior. So they don't break the cycle. And so what we do is these gentle exposures of exposing yourself to being imperfect and then watching the world not just not fall apart. That's important because our brain really does think, oh, if I don't stay up till 3 a.m. making these bits gets, or I don't stay up till 3 a.m. realigning these slides, then the world's gonna fall apart. Like it's important for our brain to learn that. But that actually our lives get better. One thing that I noticed because I work with a lot of women in tech, in because I live in Silicon Valley, so the Googles and the Facebooks and all that, or Meta and all that, is once I started treating women's perfectionism, they got promoted. Again and again and again, because their perfectionism wasn't holding them back and they were able to execute with so much more efficiency when they weren't second guessing themselves.
I think that's really interesting. I think that's really profound that if you can let go of the perfectionism, you can actually reach higher heights. Yeah.
Yes.
So breaking that cycle has some benefits or some major wins.
Huge, both professionally. I mean, I do it for the mental health side. That's why I got into it. But then it's this beautiful catalyst professionally. And then women, once that kind of snowball effects happens, they realize, oh, I really can show up imperfectly. And this is good for my career. This is good for my team. This is good for my company. And you just, I had women coming up to me at Stanford. I put in a boundary, after my first child, I think I mentioned to you that I used to give 24-hour therapy where you're on call 24 hours a day, which was a little wild. And so after my first
Scary.
child, I said, actually, I would like to only be on call from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. That was my boundary. Okay. I had a lot to learn. And I had two women come up to me. I mentioned it in a public meeting, because we were having a team meeting. And I had two women come up to me afterwards and say, oh my gosh, thank you for doing that. That really inspired me to also put in this boundary. And the amazing thing was because I put in that boundary, I stayed on that team for 8 years. And almost everybody else burned out of, you burn out rather quickly when you're giving therapy 24 hours a day.
Oh my
And so we
Lord,
had
yeah.
50% turnover on that team. But I did not leave that team because I had put in my boundary.
I believe that you cannot have a balanced life without boundaries.
Yes.
I just say balance and boundaries, balance and
Yes.
boundaries. They are wed.
I
They are
love that.
absolutely wed.
So
I
good.
appreciate you coming back again. Now,
It was
one more
wonderful.
time, what's your web address?
DrJenniferDouglas.com. So it's DrJenniferDouglas.com. That's my
Got it.
address.
And Douglas has one S, not two.
Yes.
I really hope that my listeners, that some of them will go on your website. Make use of the workbook and the online course because think it's liberating. I mean, I've looked at the workbook. I think it really has the potential to be liberating.
Thank
So
you.
I have to say thank you, thank you, thank you for making these interviews fun. I mean, a lot of fun. We've had a lot of laughter in the interview and then between our segments. So I appreciate that. And thanks for sharing your expertise. You are a special light in the world.
Oh, this
So
was a
keep shining.
joy. Thank
Keep shining. Thank you, Jen. Thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope you got tools that you'll actually use and share. Subscribe if you haven't already. I add new and relevant leadership learning all of the time. If you haven't visited the Smichael Speaks YouTube channel, check it out. There's all sorts of new content. All of this is virtual leadership learning that will help you soar.